Getting young people to think about Islam can be difficult. We have to understand the world they live in. Living in the West, especially, can be a physical, mental, and spiritual barrier between youths and their progression. We've got to understand that they are subjected, willingly or unwillingly, to an education system which teaches them more what to think and less how to think. With a stringent, learn this, regurgitate that, get good marks in the exam so that you can move from primary school to secondary school, so that you can move from college to university, get a good job, earn more money so that you can have kids and put them right back into the same cyclical system. That's the basic structure. Young people are absolutely bombarded by a surrounding media world. It is a matrix, a cradle of Western Eastern ideologies that absolutely encompasses their lives. From movies to TV shows to video games, music, and even books and novels. Media is like food. When you eat a sandwich, you're not just eating the sandwich, but you're eating the minerals and vitamins and proteins and fats within that sandwich. Media is the same. While food affects our physical bodies, media affects our minds. Every media text, from radio to billboards and cartoons, has ideologies within it. When our youths consume certain media texts, those ideologies become their own ideologies. Just like when you eat a sandwich, the proteins, fats, and fibers of that sandwich become your own proteins, fats, and fibers. Now, I was born in that cradle of Western ideologies, and I know what it's like. The education system spends more time feeding ideologies to our youths than even a lot of parents. And what's funny is that most schools have a level of engagement with the media, whether it's studying Shakespeare plays in English, watching a documentary in science, or historical film in history class. Even seeing a backpack with Disney characters on it is a form of engagement with the media. It all affects the subconscious mind. Kids will spend a significant amount of their time in playgrounds and on the way home from school discussing their favorite sitcoms, comedies, and movies. That's how they spend their time in schools, and when they come home exhausted, all they want is to relax. And by default, relax means to spend more time engaging with the mainstream media, whether it's social media websites or just settling down with a good graphic novel. And then we come home exhausted from our 9-to-5 job and just collapse. And the youths, even if they want to spend time with us, we're like, just get out of my face. We have our own stresses, our own anguishes, and we ourselves just want to relax, which again means engaging with the media in some way, shape, or form. That's right, we have a wall too. We try to disengage our youth from the mainstream media for at least a little while by, you know, getting them to do chores. But in the end, it's inevitable. The media is raising our children more than we are. The perfect analogy for us to understand this is the analogy of the strange little man. Now, if I were to tell you that there is a strange little man who is willing to babysit your children, entertain them, you know, teach them some good things as well, maybe, through the window of your house for free, would you agree to that? Most parents would be like, no way, that's blooming weird. But we have to understand that the media is exactly that. It is a strange little man, a clown, an entertainer, who we have allowed into our own houses to spend all the time in the world with our youths. It talks to our youths, it sings to our youths, it entertains our youths, it teaches our youths, and it plays with our youths more than most parents. Media is created by media institutions, and every media institution has ideologies, whether it's a news organization or a very innocent-looking cartoon show for children. These institutions are people you do not know. You've never seen them, you've never heard of them. They have certain beliefs, understandings, and ideologies. When you consume media created by them, their beliefs, understandings, and ideologies, either consciously or subconsciously, become your own. Mainstream media defines our world and the world of our youths. Meanwhile, the Quran lies gathering dust on our shelves. Islam's ideologies are not penetrating the hearts of our youths. Instead, the ideologies of global media institutions and the people behind those institutions are having more of an effect on our youths than us. So we should not be surprised that when we try to talk to them about Islam, or we take them to a lecture, or when we pray, it's having little to no effect. Young people are naturally creative people. They're thinkers, they're imaginative, they ask questions. And that's fantastic. It's the perfect time for them to learn about life, the universe, and everything. But what happens? They get bored.
Hassan.
What?
I'm bored.
Yeah.
It's the summer, you're supposed to be born.
Imam Ali said, the hearts of youngsters are like uncultivated ground. They accept whatever is thrown on them. They are like sponges at this age, so it shouldn't be difficult to engage their interest in Islam. So you try talking to them in a fun, friendly way.
The aqaid is basically...
What is aqaid? I said aqaid. How do you say it? Aqaid. What's so funny?
It sounds like a crab, basically.
How do you say it?
It's aqaid. It means your beliefs.
How do you know that and I don't?
I googled it.
And then you end up getting a little bit frustrated.
You don't care. You don't care about your beliefs. You don't care about the fundamentals of your faith. None of that matters to you.
Alright, fine, I care.
Yeah. We do care.
They are curious. They want to know whether Allah has absolute power over them or if they have free will. They want to know if the Holy Prophet really was the messenger of God and what he came to show us. They want to know what's going to happen after we die. They really are interested in whether heaven really is that great or whether their school friends who don't believe in God are really going to be hurled into the hellfire. They're curious.
What is Qiyamah anyway?
That there is a consequence for every one of our actions.
Is it what you do before namaz or something?
No. You just explained it.
What is it?
It's the Day of Judgment.
But despite this curiosity, when we try to talk to the youth about Islam, there's a certain disconnect.
If you believe in these three things, congratulations. You're a Muslim. Well, if you believe in the prophets, then that means that you believe that there was somebody sent to show us the right way to live. And if we're not emulating them in every way possible, then we're not really believing it.
So you want me to be like Jesus?
Yeah.
You want us to be like Jesus?
Pretty much.
How are we supposed to emulate the prophets? Because we're just normal people. They were actually prophets.
You might think that you're getting through to them. You're not. You're so naive. God bless you.
Hey! 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 You still with me?
And then you're right back again to square one. You're not getting through to them because you're hitting the wall. What we have to recognize is that there are types of youths. Visual learners learn through seeing things. Auditory learners learn through hearing. Reading and writing learners learn better from settling down with a good book or blank piece of paper. And kinesthetic learners learn from doing something. For this reason, various techniques are employed in schools to cater for the needs of different children. Now, for auditory learners, it might be sufficient to just take them to a lecture or talk to them about Islam. And for reading and writing learners, you can just switch off the TV and throw a book at them. It might not go the way that you plan.
What are you doing?
Turn it back on!
Turn the TV on right now!
Calm down.
Oh, I can't believe you've done it.
Now, if your youths are reading books, then that's very good, keep it up. But a lot of youths just don't read books anymore. You give them a book, it's like... Oh.
What is it?
Read it.
Turn the TV back on. I don't know what it is. What is it?
It has lots of words, it must be a keypad.
Like, it's made of cardboard.
That's not even English.
Yeah, it must be. It's got to be a, what's it called?
Is it touchscreen? A tablet?
No.
No?
Kindle. I don't know, it's like made of cardboard. What is it?
It might be a keypad. No, it is.
No.
Bless.
No, it's not a keypad, is it?
What is it then?
It's like one of those things you used to read.
Oh, read.
Read.
Read. Then we have to Google this.
Found it. It's called a book.
Book.
A book. We've got a book.
Ayatollah Khamenei has emphasized a lot on encouraging youths to read. Read, read, read as much as you can. Read. The leader has actually read most of Mikhail Zavarkov's novels. He's also read Jane Austen, Shakespeare, and he's read Les Miserables multiple times. And we might think that we don't have time to read, but he even emphasizes there and says, I recommend for those who go to work on a daily basis, office employees, laborers, shopkeepers, and farmers, to spend a portion of their time, even just for half an hour, reading. So many books can be read over a span of time during half-hour intervals. Overall, I've probably read hundreds of books during these short intervals, and I know many people who have done the same. He says it's very important to encourage the young people to read books. Now, what about visual learners? If you're a visual learner like me, then you're going to need a lot more to break through that wall. For these types of learners, seeing is believing. Now, if you go to a lecture, it's going to be hard to concentrate for an hour and a half. All you're looking at for an hour and a half is the speaker. Very little of that lecture will go through to a visual learner's heart because he or she needs to see something more. At Islamic Pulse, we have condensed heavy subject material and deep content into 5-10 minute videos. Nobody can say that they don't have time for that. Biscuit was created as a conversation starter. It uses humor, it uses movement, color, and images to penetrate the wall. Sit down with your youth, watch our content. This will break down the wall and then begin to discuss about the topic, whether it's tawassul or death or the infallibility of the Prophet. Spend a few minutes a day at least watching the short clips we've made from the speeches of various scholars. And as for the kinesthetic learners, you need to get them to do something. If you've identified that your child is a kinesthetic learner, then let them sit with a piece of paper and pen. Let them doodle or scribble something while they listen to the lecture. Believe it or not, they might actually learn more. What we do is we usually slap their wrist and say, put that away, you know, listen to the lecture, focus. But for a kinesthetic learner, it's very difficult to focus. They need to be doing something. Next time you go to a lecture or a majlis, get them to write down notes on a piece of paper and then have them summarize the lecture for you on the drive home. And just as a side note to any youths who might be listening, this is not a free pass for you to sit in majlises and lectures with a sketch pad and doodle away. No, it's just a point for us to get thinking and to get us to consider these things. When it comes to our content, encourage the kinesthetic youth to leave a comment, to share, to subscribe. These actions have an impact on the target audience. Get them to express their view. Better yet, get them to create a response video asking questions or concurring. This will further encourage the youth to research in order to provide the appropriate information. And of course, the best thing to do would be to do all of these things, whether you're a visual, auditory, reading or writing, or kinesthetic learner. But what makes media so effective? One thing, it penetrates the wall. There is a barrier between a human and his heart. Imam Ali said, I stood at the gate of my heart and let nothing inside except Allah. But most of us don't do that. We let anything inside as long as it appears friendly. In media theory, we learn about a thing called catharsis, an experience of heightened emotion brought about by the media. Let's look at it this way. When a person laughs or cries, his heart opens up. This is the perfect time to deposit whatever ideologies you want inside, because the heart is open. If somebody has made you laugh or cry, they have influenced you. This is one of the reasons why majlises are so effective, because after sharing Islamic ideologies with us, the scholar will remind us of what happened. For example, in Karbala, when we cry, our hearts open up. At this point, it's much more likely that whatever we've learnt during the lecture will remain with us. It's gone into our hearts now. Now, for youths, crying for somebody else's sake is a little bit more difficult. It's a bit more of a deeper emotional experience that comes with maturity. Laughing, however, is something that young people are much more likely to do. Now, the question is, what makes us laugh or cry more? Islamic material, Islamic discussions, Islamic lectures, or the mainstream media? Comedies, movies, sitcoms, music, fiction novels, everything from our favorite dramas to the latest fads. These have much more of an emotional impact on us than anything Islamic. If our youths are disconnected from Islam, it's because we have presented Islam as boring. Their failure is our failure, and if future generations are more concerned with having a love marriage or becoming materialistically successful instead of serving Imam Mahdi, then we have nobody to blame but ourselves. especially when many of our own ideologies have actually come from Hollywood, Bollywood, Disney, the BBC and Fox more than Islam. Media defines what it means to be beautiful, to be successful. It defines what love is. It defines what it means to be a hero, what it means to be a heroine. It defines justice. It defines good and evil. Our choice of clothes, the way our sisters choose to wear hijab, how we talk, how we treat our parents, all of these things are taught to us more by mainstream media than Islam. The painful reality is that in today's world, the power to present these definitions, the power to affect the ideologies of billions of people in the world is not in the hands of Imam Mahdi or in the hands of Islam. It is in the hands, ultimately, of the Zionists and other conglomerate institutions whose focus is making money and distracting the people of the world. And there's only one solution. A media revolution. And it's already begun to an extent in the Islamic Republic of Iran. I'd encourage people as much as possible to engage with Iran's media, whether it's the Mukhtar narrative, or the Prophet Muhammad movie, or the Prophet Yusuf series. I mean, all of these are fantastic, and they will always give us those Islamic ideologies. Now, you can encourage the youth to go and watch lectures, and that's very good. But remember that our youths are being challenged every day. They're being challenged by their school friends, they're being challenged by the education system, they're even being challenged by the mainstream media itself. Their faith is being challenged, and they are being put to the test every single day. Their beliefs are being challenged, their practices are being challenged. They have to become firmer than mountains if their faith is to survive in the West. What we need is our youths to start thinking about Islam. We need parents out there to talk to their children more about the core Islamic beliefs, from the Quran to the Holy Prophet to the Ahlul Bayt. As we get closer to the Zuhur and the return of Imam Mahdi, we have to remember the hadith of the noble prophet. Islam came as a stranger and it will return as a stranger. So we shouldn't be surprised if the thing that we thought Islam was actually turns out to be something absolutely different to what Islam really is. We need a global media revolution. This revolution belongs to you. And what we've done so far at Islamic Pulse is only the beginning, inshallah. But from what we have created so far, there's three things that we need to remember. Number one, we need to protect our hearts and minds from the ideologies which are presented to us and our youths on a daily basis by mainstream media. Number two, we have to recognize and learn about what the media really is. If we don't know what the agenda of the media institutions is and how they manage to affect our minds and the minds of our youth, we will become brainwashed and indoctrinated without even knowing it. And number three, we have got to present Islam to our youths in a fun, entertaining, engaging way while adhering strictly to the ahkam, the divine laws of Islam. And if we do not do that, then it's an injustice to Islam. Watch our content carefully, contemplate over it, discuss it with others, share it and comment, and even consider creating content of your own. All Islamic Pulse content is free for you to download, for you to upload wherever you like, for you to play it in your masajid and in your Islamic centers, and for you to engage the youths and play it in front of audiences. As long as you do not change any of the content that we have created, it's absolutely fine. The future is in your hands. Take it.